Well, I don't know whether just ran out the door or what to do, because I've already went blank from what. Have you ever tried to tell Brother Mike no? No, it don't work. Now I come here with a message, but everything is blank now. So you pray for me and put up with what I have to say. All right. My Father in heaven, I need you, Father, and I know that, Father, tonight that you know that, Father, that I'm in a tribulation that I don't understand, Father. In your word, I know, Father, that you told me to glory in tribulation, Father. But, Father, it's hard, Father, to glory when you just plain don't know what to do, Father. And I ask of you, Father, tonight for the leadership of your Holy Spirit, Father. But, Lord, if you call me just to stand, Father, I'll be ashamed of James, Father, but I'll never be ashamed of you, Father, because I know that all my hope of now and all of eternity lays within your Son Jesus, Father. And Father, I ask of you, Father, tonight, Lord, that you would use me, Father, Lord, to your glory. Father, if it's just to stand here and look out across people that I know that loves me, if it's just that, Father, that I'll do. Father, would you take me and use me, Father, in a way that would lift up your name? In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray. Amen. Brother Mike left the last Sunday night just before when he took off, and he went to walk. He walked down and he says, and I know who he was talking to. He says, "We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. And that hope makes not ashamed because of the love of God." And I knew when he was going, he was saying that to encourage me. I mean, let me visit just a little bit. Maybe I can kind of settle down. I know that God's, or I think I know that God can still use me, and I'm at peace with Him, and those are the things that matter to me. But I know, I've done a lot of, in life, I've had a good life, I've been a lot of places, I've done a lot of things, and I've preached behind the pulpit for 40 years, and I've enjoyed it. Right now I'm doing the hardest thing ever done in my life. It's just to stand. In the twelfth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Want to look at it for a little while, all right? Says in the book, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we, which are, wherefore, seeing we, also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despised the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Apostle Paul was intended, when he wrote this letter to the Hebrews, that he was writing a letter to encourage them in a time when they needed the Apostle Paul. So he began to try to talk to them about the things that was on him, he had seen. And he said to them that we were to endure chastening. Let me go down and just look at the, and I may just have to read. You forgive me if I get to that. I cannot, my mind has just went blank. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to just sit down. I'm going to do what I can do since I'm here. So you be forgiven to me, and that's all that matters. And I'm going to have to go look at my mind so blank of what I was going to say. I'll have to go back and just look at the word. He says, in the third verse, he says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sin against himself, lest we be weary and faint in our minds." So he was talking about our Lord and our Savior that withstood so many things that was done against him. He says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as to children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And so he's going to talk about the chastening, God's chastening, and God chastens us. By the way, the Bible says that God chastens those that He loves. And if we're without chastening, then God doesn't love us. So He says He chastens every one of us that comes to. So He chastens those that He loves. He says that every son is chastened. Every son is chastened. Let me just go down and read a little bit more to you. As I said, in fifth verse, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh to you as in children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons." And so the chastening of the Lord upon our lives is a mark of a son. And so a lot of times people, when chastening comes, it breaks them and they quit coming. We got all over our nation, we've got people that don't come to church anymore because they've come into the building and the Lord has loved them and chastened them, and they break under the chastening of that, and because that's not what they want. really, in the day that we live in, people want to be told how good they are. And the Bible says there's none good save God. But He is, isn't He? He is. If He'll put up with something like this, He's a good God. You can go any place you want to and you can say, God puts up with James, so He's a good God. And it won't hurt me a bit because I know James as well as anybody, and I ain't going to tell you about him. Yeah, and so let me just go back to the sixth verse and read it. It says, "For who the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scoreth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dwells with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye..." I'm going to use some kind of straight language here in just a minute. "But for if ye be without chastening, therefore you are all takers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, ye have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. That shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirit and life?" He just asked us. We've all had parents, fathers, that has corrected us, and we might have sometimes run away from home, but we always come back. And so why would we faint? Why would we faint when the chastening, when God chastens us and loves us? He intends to make of us a son, one that He can be proud of, one that would worship Him, one that would love Him. We're chastened for that reason, and we will be chastened for that reason. And God will continue to chasten us. If you want to know what chasten is, when my daddy chastened me, he used a belt. When God chastens me, He gives me a working over in my heart and makes me to see who James really is. Not who James might claim to be or what James might want to be, but He shows me who James really is. And by the way, He does the same thing for you. And so He chastens us that we might be the children that He desires to have. And also He does that we might be a candidate for heaven. So He chastens. Somebody told me one time that he said after he got saved that he wouldn't be troubled by the Holy Spirit no more. But he said he just found out that it got worse. Yeah. But that's what God does, because He loves us. Not willing to give up, not willing to say I'm through. Always willing to forgive. Sometimes it seems like He just has to start all over with me. And so He says, let me go back to the scripture. I like to go back to the scriptures. I've got very little confidence anymore in what I have to say. Very little. But I'm confident. I'm confident of what this here has to say. Amen. And so you might say I use it as a crutch. And I do. I use it in a crutch home when I'm sitting around and I get knowing that I need something to touch me and make me to stand up again. I know that I can go to the Bible and read it, and it fixes things. And so it has become a crutch to me of a surety. And I was trying to figure out where I was at. I'm going to start reading at 18. For ye are not coming to the mount that might not be touched, and the burning of fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of trumpets and the voice of words, and which voice they heard in threatened that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. By the way, he's talking about what happened to Israel now. He's talking about the Israel and their when they came to face with God. And for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mount, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And they, with the sight that Moses said, I even fear and quake. For ye are come into Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the holy Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and into Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So then, see then, ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not for whom who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? And he's speaking of himself, God in heaven. If we turn away, we have a turning away today because of we don't want to accept the things that God tells us in his word. Just this week, I talked to some of my relatives about it, and they was willing to accept it, and they says, and their answer is this: God loves me, and that's right. God does. God loves the sinner. He loves those that too. He loves us everyone, but they cannot understand that before a man goes to heaven, he has to love back. And that's what God expects me and you to do, is to love him back. That's why that we must obey him. That's what, when I was growing up, I'd obey Mama. She'd say, James, you're a good boy. You're a good boy. I liked that. But then whenever I was naughty, I wasn't a good boy no more. And it's the same way. I can serve God and even hide myself as a good boy. But God knows. God knows what's in my heart. He'll know what I'm next. He knows that I'm what I'm doing right now. As a matter of fact, he knows that I'm struggling. And I know he could fix it. But if he chooses not to do so, that's fine with me. I made up my mind a long time ago that I would do what he wanted me to do, and I'll do that. My daddy used to tell me growing up as a boy, he said, James, when you've done all you can do, just be faithful. And I'd say that to you today. when you've done all you can do, just be faithful. And God will be faithful. And so He's going to chasten us. Now, let me kind of find where I was reading that. Somebody might have to tell me. 26. Whose voice that shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once, who signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And so he simply tells us that regardless, we're to serve Him. We're to serve Him. When He chastens us, we're to look to that chasten and let me go over to the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, or the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And he says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and are all members, have not the same office, so we being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having their gifts different according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy, whether according to the portion of faith. On ministering, let it wait on the minister, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhort on exhortation. He that giveth, let it him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with carefulness. Yet love, let love be without dis. I cannot pronounce it. Verse 10. Kindly accept one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, favor and spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. This is where it comes hard. He says, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but consonant to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as layeth in you, live peacefully with all men. Makes me to wonder if maybe there's some men you can't live peaceful with. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, it's going to get hard, feed him. If he thirst, give him drinks, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with God. My Father in heaven, I've read, Father, what you give me to preach from, Father. Lord, I didn't preach it. And Father, I don't know, Father, anything else to do, Father, but just to turn it back to Brother Ryan, Father, and let him close. Father, I wished I could have preached like the house was on fire. I wish, Father, I could have shouted so loud, Father, that they heard you, of you in Harrison. But, Father, I'm not ashamed of you. I love you. I know my need for you. And I know that I can't do without you. Father, would you bless your word, Father, not the speaker. But Father, would you bless your word, Father, that it might touch the heart of someone and it may help them to walk closer to you and to know your love for them. In the name of Jesus, I pray.